Blog Talk Radio. Getting his house together, the Lord's house together, He builds God his house. And Solomon is a man that prays. He prays. Just like his daddy did. The only thing that messed Solomon up was all those 700 wives. They messed him up. From all these different places and different religions, messed this man up to the point where he didn't know his head from a hole in the ground. Walked in melancholy for the last years of his life. You know, just whatever. His proverbs first started off, you know, very wisdom-like, and then his last proverb started sounding like, vanity of my vanity. Whatever, it's all vanity. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You just lost it there for a minute. You know, just not liking anything or anybody. Solomon was on a roll. But in this section of the word, he is fervent in his desire to please God. And we cannot allow our lives to go like that, to be fervent, really excited about pleasing God, and then become stayed and jaded. We can't do that. We got to stay excited until the day we leave this earth. As the song said, get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father God, we come this morning thankful, grateful, and blessed to be in your presence, to study and read your word, Lord God. Let it touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, to know that you are in charge of everything and that we are just your humble servants, open and ready to receive what you pour into us, God. May we pour what you pour in, may we pour out to others. What you give us, Lord, may we give to others, that all will be saved, that all will know the name of Jesus, and that he is your son, that he did rise from the dead, that he does sit at your right hand into every minute, every second, every hour for us. Father God, in his name, I lift up this word, asking you as always, Lord, to increase as Mother Valerie and I decrease, Lord God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. For you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And again, we lift this word up to you, thanking you for another day to sing your praises, another day to read your word, another day to get all excited and tell everybody about Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is our Savior. And to speak the word of those that came before, that we will learn and be made whole. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Last night I was watching one of the shows called The Neighborhood, which has Cedric the Entertainer and Tanisha Arnold in it. And last night it was about Jemma, who is the next-door neighbor, and who is also the principal of the Wilcox Academy on the show. And so Jemma got a new history book, and it's a history book that tells the truth of America. And the kids were like, wow, they were interested in this history because it's the true history of America. And the kids were like, wow, I didn't know this happened. I know that happened. And so they are really getting into their history book. But the parents are claiming the kids are uncomfortable because, you know, we got all this stuff going on, even now in our real world, with the folks that are claiming that the people that want to know the real history of America are woke, you know. And as we all know, when you rather be awoke than asleep, because if you are woke, you can learn, you can live, you can move. As they say, we live, we move, and have our being. When you are woke, but when you're asleep, you're just that, asleep. And we don't want to be asleep. We want to be awake. We want to know when things are happening. Because if the strong man is asleep, what happens with his house is robbed. He can do nothing about it. But if he's awake, he can at least try to protect his home. Come on now. Because we know the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you need to be awake. But anyway, this parent comes and he says that, you know, he doesn't want his daughter traumatized. And she's like, well, it's not, it's the history. It's real. It's what happened. We can't continue not to tell our children the truth. Well, I give a lot of money to your school. Take my money and my daughter, and we're going to go somewhere else if you continue with this book. And then he kind of throws the history book on this stand. So she has this meeting, and, you know, and she tells, you know, we want our children. And the dad stands up, and he's like, well, some of us, we don't like it. We don't miss. And, you know, a black father stands up, and he says, you know, my child goes through racism every day. How do you think he feels? And the dad kind of gives him the dirty look, and all of a sudden, Jim's son, Grover, walks in with all his classmates, and they say, leave our book alone or something. The kids are doing their own little chant, you know, and they want their book. And the dad, you know, it's like, your kid, you don't know what you're talking about. So we want to know the truth. We don't want to be kept in the dark of our history. We're not, you know, we're not fragile. We're not afraid, and I'm paraphrasing. And then to the man's surprise, his daughter stands up and grabs her book, and she says, I want to keep my history. I want my history book to be what's real and what's true. And so she stands up with her classmates. And the dad says, well, you don't know what you're talking. She says, no, Dad, it doesn't make me uncomfortable. It makes you uncomfortable. So from the mouths of babes, the history that these children are learning, true history of America, is not making them uncomfortable. The true history of America is making some parents uncomfortable. We have to know the truth. Tell the kids the truth. They are not as fragile as you think. There is some horrible history in this nation. And until we come to grips with it, we will stay a weak nation with weak children who don't know anything. Do you think in Germany they don't teach about what happened during the Hitler's regime? They do. And that's why you see no Nazi flag. That's why you see no Nazi paraphernalia. That's why you see nothing dealing with Nazism in Germany, and why they are able to open arms to all kinds of people in love, and that hatefulness is not there. Yeah, there are probably some that are closet that don't like people, the majority, because they know what happens when hate comes in. They try not to allow it in. And so you will not see a Hitler statue in Germany. You will not see anything and no praises of those that did wrong. Whereas in this nation, you see the flag of treason. You see statues of traitors. You see all these things. People don't want their children to know the truth. And Solomon, in his year, did whatever he needed to do to keep history in Israel, to keep reminding people of what God brought them through. And we have to do the same. So, Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you because I love God and I want the truth to prevail for the Lord. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. We have to tell the truth. You know, the Lord didn't sugarcoat Bathsheba and David. And the Lord did not sugarcoat Solomon and his 700 wives. It's all out there for the people to see that Israel was not perfect. Judah was not perfect. But God was and continues to be. Mother Valerie, good morning.
Good morning.
I am turning it over to you after I have had my history moment. Again, the crux of what I'm trying to say is we have to know history, but history unknown is history repeated. The truth is what sets us free. The truth is what makes us a great nation. On yesterday, we celebrated all the men and women who died to protect this nation. And what we have to do to protect this nation is tell the truth.
Amen.
On Wednesday night, what everyone has talked about as being this or that, the 1619 Project will be shown on ABC. And I would suggest that you watch it. You will be surprised. It's not what you've heard in the news. It's not what people have said on certain channels. Not some woke thing. It's just the truth. So, and it was written by many historians, not by a few, but many. Tell the story. So again, announcement, if you are available, sit down with your children and watch the 1619 Project on ABC tomorrow night. So I turn it over to you, Mother.
Good morning. Good morning, saints of God, people of God. You know, Pastor was talking about Solomon. Solomon had 700 wives. Well, you know what? He sure wasn't gay. But I wonder, with 700 wives, how often could he spend time with each wife? How would they get to know him? That's a lot. 700 wives. But that's what happened. I'm reading
from first. Excuse me, Mother, I have to say this really quick, and then I will turn it over to you when you said that. How could he spend time with each? Because there's only 365 days a year. He had more wives than days of the year. So what? One year did he spend with one set of wives, and then the next year he spent with the other set of wives? Because that's the only way. And so you saw your husband every other year.
My goodness. But, you know, he was rich enough every to take care year. Of all those females. He was very Ooh. Rich, very wise. And he took care of all those women. My goodness gracious me.
It's so much reading for others who was not doing his job.
That's amazing. Totally amazing.
Oh, Mother.
I can't even see a man in this day and age having 700 women, 700 wives. It would drain them. And he didn't do the king's business and take care of everything. I mean, he had to be strong. God had given him a lot of strength and wisdom and everything. I'm reading 1 Kings 7:1-8:66. Solomon took 13 years to build his own house. So he finished all his house. Also built the house of Forest of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Four rows of cedar pillars, cedar beams on the pillars. It was paneled with cedar. Above the beams, there were on 45 pillars, 15 to a row. There were windows for the beveled frames and three rows, and windows was opposite windows and three ties. And all the doorways, door posts had rectangle frames and windows was opposite windows and three tiers. Also made the hall of pillars, its length was 50 cubits, its width 30 cubits. In front of them was the portico with pillars and a canopy was in front of them. Then he made a hall for the throne, the hall of judgment, where he might judge. It was paneled with cedars from floor to ceiling. House where he dwelt had another court inside the hall for like workmanship. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken as wife. All these were of costly stones cut to size, trimmed with saws inside and out, from the foundation to the eaves, and also on the outside to the great court. Foundation was of costly stones. My goodness, large stones, some 10 cubits and some 8 cubits, and above were costly stones, hewn to size and cedar wood. The great court was enclosed with 3 rows of hewn stones and a row of cedar beams. So were the inner court of the house of the Lord and the vestibule of the temple. Now King Solomon sent and brought Huron from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Natalia. Father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. He was filled with wisdom, understanding, and skill in working with all kinds of bronze work. Came to King Solomon and did all of his work. He cast 2 pillars of bronze, each one 18 cubits high, a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of each. Then he made 2 capitals of cast bronze to set on the tops of the pillars. Height of one capital was 5 cubits. Height of the other capital was 5 cubits. He made an electric network with reefs of chain work for the capitals, which was on top of the pillars, 7 chains for one capital, 7 for the other capital. So he made the pillars and 2 rows of pomegranate above the network all around to cover the capitals that was on top, and thus he did for the other capital. The capitals, which was on top of the pillars in the hall, were in the shape of lilies, 4 cubits. Capitals on the 2 pillars also had pomegranates above by convex surface, which was next to the network. There was 200 such pomegranates in rows on each of the capitals all around. Set up the pillars by the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillars on the right, called his name Jachin. And he set up the pillars on the left, called its name Boaz. The top of the pillars were in the shape of lilies, so the work of the pillars were finished. Made a sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, line of 30 cubits, measure its circumference. Below its brim were ornamental bulbs encircling it all around, 10 to the cubit, all the way around the sea. The ornamental bulbs were cast in 2 rows. When it was cast, it stood on 12 oxen, 3 looking forward to the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It was a hand breadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 2,000 cubits, 2,000 baths. He also made 10 courts of bronze, 4 cubits with the length of each court, 4 cubits its width, and 3 cubits its length. This was the design of the court. They had panels. The panels were between frames. On the panel that was between the frames was bronze, oxen, and turban. And on the frames was a pestle on top. Below the lions and oxen was wrapped wreaths of pleated work. Each court had 4 bronze wheels, oxen of bronze, and its 4 feet had support. Under the lava was support of cast bronze inside, beside each wreath. Its opening inside the crown at the top was 1 cubit in diameter, and the opening was round-shaped like a pestle, 1.5 cubit inside diameter, and also on the opening was engraving. Panels were square, not round. Under the panels was 4 wheels, axles of wheels were joined to the court. Height of a wheel was 1.5 cubits. Workmanship of the wheels was like the workmanship of a chariot wheel. The axle pins, their rims, their spokes, their hubs were all of cast bronze. And there was 4 supports at the 4 corners of each court. The support was part of the court itself. Top of the court, at the height of 1/2 a cubit, it was perfectly round. And on the top of the court, its frames and its panels were of the same casting. On the plates of its slings and on the panels, he engraved turbans, lines, palm trees, wherever there was a clear space on each with reefs all around. Thus he made the 10 courts. All of them were of the same mold, 1 measure and one shape. Then he made 10 layers of brass. Each layer contained 40 baths. Each labor, the 4 cubits on each of the 10 courts, was a labor. And he put 5 courts on the right side of the house and 5 on the left side of the house. He set the sea on the right side of the house toward the southeast. Theron made the labors and the shells and the bowls. Theron finished doing all the work that he was to do for King Solomon, for the house of the Lord. And the two pillars, the two bowls, shaped capitals, were on top of the two pillars. The two networks covering the two bowls, shaped capitals, which was on top of the pillars. 400 propagrams for the two networks. 2 rows of propagrams for each network to cover the two bowl-shaped capitals that was on top of the pillars. The 10 carts and the 10 labors on the carts, 1 sea, 112 oxen under the sea, the pots, the shovels, and the bowls. All these articles which he made for King Solomon for the house of the Lord was of burnished bronze. In the plain of Jordan, King had him cast in clay mold between Sirkop and Zara. And Solomon did not weigh all the articles because there were so many. The weight of the bronze was not determined. But Solomon had all the furnitures made for the house of the Lord, altar of gold, table of gold, on which was the showbread. The lampstands of pure gold, 5 on the right side, 5 on the left, in front of the inner sanctuary, with the flowers and lamps and the wood trimmings of gold. The basin, the trimmings, the bowl of the ladders, and the censers of pure gold. Hands of gold, both for the doors of the inner rooms of the most holy place, and for the doors of the main hall of the temple. So all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the furniture. He put them in the treasures of the house of the Lord. Chapter 8. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribe, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is in Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ephraim, which is the 7th month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. They brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, all the holy furniture that was in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who was assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most high place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their 2 wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. Poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the 2 tablets of stone which Moses put there at Hebrew when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, came out of the land of Egypt. Came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. No God in heaven or earth below is like our God. And that's when you realize that statement. No God in the heaven, no God in the earth is like our God. And Solomon said, the Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. You know, everybody tries to build a house for God. That's what our churches are. And we try to get the best church or the best house for God that's possible. But this house, this temple of God had so much gold, the terrapins, and it was built so beautifully, and it was rich, had a lot of gold in that house. Then the king turned around, blessed the whole assembly of Israel, while all the assembly of Israel was standing, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, spoke with his mouth to my father David, and with his hand has fulfilled his sins. Since today I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. Chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord, God of Israel. The Lord said to my father David, wherein it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, and I have filled the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised. I have built the temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel, and there I have made a place for the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on the earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. There is no God. I mean, you can make a God of anything, but it's not a God. God, there's only one God, and the earth is his footstool, and he dwells in heaven. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth, fulfilled it with your hand, as it is today. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you should not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their ways that they may walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heaven, heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication. O Lord, my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be open toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may you hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel. When they pray toward this place, hear in heaven your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. When anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath, comes and take an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear in heaven and act and judge. Your servants, condemning the wicked, bring his way on his head, justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you, confess your name and pray and make supplications to you in this temple, then here in heaven, forgive the sin of your people Israel, bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place, confess your name and turn from their sins because you afflict them, then here in heaven, forgive the sin of your servant, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk. Send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence, blight, mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their city, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, which each one knows the plague of his own heart, spreads out his hand toward the temple, Then here in heaven, your dwelling place, forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose hearts you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country, for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name, your strong hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays towards this temple, here in heaven, your dwelling place, do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all the people of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built, called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer, their supplication, and maintain their cause when they sin against you. For there is no one who does not sin. For there is no one who does not sin. And you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy and take them captive to the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land that they were captive and repent, make supplications to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned, done wrong, we have committed wickedness, and when they return to you with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, led them away captive, pray to you toward their land you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear your dwelling place, their prayer, their supplication, maintain their cause, forgive your people who have sinned against you, all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you. Grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servants, supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all people of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke about your servant Moses, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer, supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord God who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he has promised to his servant Moses. May the Lord God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may the words of mine with which I have made supplications before the Lord be near the Lord our God day and night, that he might maintain the cause of his servant, cause of his people, Israel, each day may require that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. There is no other. There's nowhere else to turn. That the Lord is God. He reigns and he rules, and the earth is his footstool. There is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord, our God, to walk in his statutes, keep his commandments, as at this day. Then the kings and all Israel with him offer sacrifices before the Lord. Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. The king and all of Israel dedicated the house of God, house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in the front of the house of the Lord. So there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, fat of peace offerings, because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings, grain offerings, the fat of the peace offerings. At that time, Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God. 7 days and seven more days, 14 days. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents, joyful, glad of heart, for all the good that the Lord had done for his servant David and for all Israel people. There is no God in heaven or earth below like you. Whoa! Those statements are so true. God, I mean, there's nobody but God. You can build a calf. You can say this. You can say that. But there is no other God but God. No God in heaven or the earth below like our God. Whoa! May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. I'm going to turn this back over to the hand of the pastor.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
God is
no
good.
God like our God.
No God.
God said in our word today, Lord God, there is no God in heaven above on earth below. Hallelujah. And as we go into the 68th Psalm, verses 28 through 35, your God has commanded your strength. Strength, O Lord, what you have done for us. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people. Shall everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the people to delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah. To him who rides on the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 17:16-17. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom? Since he has no heart for it, you cannot purchase wisdom. You can only pray for it. Hallelujah. God, if you have no heart for it, God's not going to give it to you. You know, you have foolish people with no wisdom, and they just think they know everything. So you just have to let it go, give it to God, and keep on moving forward. And it says a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Hallelujah. As we go forth in John chapter 11, this is the story of Lazarus and the Martha Mary story, which does something to my heart. These two women are phenomenal. And the one thing I can say without any doubt is they love Jesus. They trust in Jesus. They believe in Jesus, and that they know he is, and that he can help their brother. And this is the word. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with a fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Now you know who the woman with the oil was. It was Mary of Bethany, with her little alabaster jar of oil. And it says, with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister said to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard them, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said. After that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was standing in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way, secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose and quickly and came to him. And life lesson and example for this word this morning. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Jesus did not mean that Lazarus would not die. He did. But that the episode would not end in death. When Jesus is involved, death ends nothing. As the Lord of life, he triumphs over it, even death. As we know, the woman with the son, you know, we think Lazarus is the first person he rose from the dead. Remember the widow with the one son coming through the gate with her dead son, and Jesus telling her he's just asleep as he raises this young man from the dead to take care of his mother. Come on now. Jesus did these things, but because this one was more public, hear about it so much, whereas the other one was done more with just a smaller group of people. So they didn't talk about this one, that one, as much as this one, because Lazarus was a prominent man in Israel. His family had wealth. Jesus frequently with him. So his story is a little bit more prominent than the one with the young man and his mother. And as we continue in this word, Martha's worship is your life example. Worship is worship as you work. After Jesus raised her brother from the dead, Martha finally knew the awesome power of Christ. She knew that nothing she could do would ever honor him sufficiently, yet also that he would gladly receive anything done for him out of a heart of genuine devotion. And we're going to read more about that tomorrow in tomorrow's word. And say, God invites you to use your gift to express praise to him, especially if you use them with a grateful, joyful heart. If however they become your avenue for seeking acceptance and prestige, as with Martha at the beginning, then they can become a source of bitterness and resentment. Your actions can either proclaim Christ or they advancement. You can use your talents with an attitude of praise or an attitude of self-promotion. As you express your gift today, consider your testimony. Will you serve out him? Will you choose work or worship? Will you choose work or worship? Choose you this day. Got to understand. You're going to choose. Are you going to serve the Lord? Serve me. We got to serve God in whatever you do. Not for you. It is for him. And it is for his grace, his mercy. It is for God. As we go into this last life lesson from Dr. Stanley, it says that I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. John 11:14-15. We have to understand that God is far more concerned with growing our faith, making us comfortable. Come on now. Jesus said he was glad about the death of Lazarus because he valued his friend's faith over their tears. Hallelujah. What a mighty word. And I cannot wait to get to tomorrow's word where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And everybody sees it because Jesus always thought about love. He did it in love. Ooh, what a mighty God we serve. As Mary said, Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. And we have to believe it as well. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I have to say, Sister Carolyn, again, right on point. With whatever she sends, she always prays, and it's always on point. And what she asked today is, everything God does is right. Come on now. Whether we like it or not, I got to say it again. Everything. Right, whether we like it or not. Have a God-trusting Tuesday. Do you trust God? Do you believe that everything is working for good? Because it is. You know, Sister Carolyn lost a very valuable bracelet on Sunday. And God found it because we prayed about it. She prayed, we all that knew her and love her prayed by that very valuable bracelet. And I sent her a note early this morning, and because I didn't look at my phone, I didn't do anything on yesterday. So if you called me, if you text me and I didn't respond, that was because I was having a sabbatical from the phone, from everything. I just had time with God, quiet time, and rest, which is what I needed. And it says this, and I wrote a note this morning, prayers are answered, check. Thanking God for answering the prayers of the righteous, check. Early morning, happy dance. What was lost, God allowed to be found, check. Going back to sleep, check. And that's exactly what I did, hallelujah. Because God always takes care of everything we need, and I can only say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the word for this morning in our prayer book, R365, is this: unconditional acceptance. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. John 6:37 NASB. Merciful Father, you are so good in the way that you accept me with open arms. You did not have to, but you chose to. I cannot begin to thank you for your mercy that takes me in just as I am and time again. I never have to dress myself up or convince you that I'm worthy of your attention or love. You are the one teaching me how valuable I am. You've known it all along. How could I describe the depth of the gratitude I feel? You never cast out your children. When I think of the story of the prodigal son and how he squandered his inheritance and the joy the father expressed in his return home, I am overcome by the thought of such a parent. Your goodness goes far beyond my comprehension, and yet here I am living in it. Thank you for your complete and unconditional acceptance of who I am. You make me comfortable in my own skin. I love you so much. And the question for this morning as we wrap up, do you believe that every part of you is fully, the Lord loves me in my good, the Lord loves me in my bad, the Lord loves me in spite of me? And that's all we can say is thank you, Lord, for loving us in spite of us. Thank you so much, family, for joining Mother Valerie and myself this morning. And, all I can say is it has been a great word brought forth today. We have a couple of minutes left. If there is anybody who has a word that God has given you that you would like to share, now is the time to call 213-943-3597. It is also a time to just open up and just let God hear you saying hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the honor, of the glory, of the praise. And all we can say is thank you. As we get ready to pray out, and we just pray, Father God in heaven, watch over those that are traveling the highways and the byways, Lord God. Watch over my daughter and her family as they travel out of the state, and they are out west, Lord. Let our presentations go extremely well, Lord God. I pray for the blessing of my pastor, Lord God, as she travels the highway to go to visit a good friend, Lord God, also a supporter of this show. I ask all of you, please lift up Minister Barbara, who used to come in and give us that prophetic word on the show. We ask you to watch over her, God, to heal her body, God, for we know that you can and you will, that you hear and that you speak to the prophets first, God. So we're asking you to bless her with your healing power, God. But we know that she is a mighty, powerful woman of God. So we lift up Minister Barb, Prophetess Barb. We lift her up, Lord God, asking you to heal her body and to give her a great spirit within her, God. As our pastor goes to lay hands, God, those healing hands that you have blessed you, we ask that the healing process goes forth. And Father, as we leave each other, we pray our prayer of faith. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Be blessed and know that God is with you wherever you go. He loves you. And Mother Valerie and I like to tell you, what is the mother? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. But you know what, Pastor? I was thinking about all the sacrifices that they offered on the altar. Well, that's over with. It's only one sacrifice, and that was Jesus Christ, our Lord, and there should be no more sacrifices on the altar. God offered his son, his only son, and that's it. You don't have to offer bulls and different things of that nature on the altar anymore. It's all over with. And I thank
That's
God
right.
for
it's
it.
A wrap. It is. Jesus did it.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Bye-bye.
We thank God again. And thank you, Mother, for joining me this morning. And we ask you all to come back tomorrow. Tell a friend to come and move forward with you in the Word of God. You know, we do this not because we want self-aggrandizement. We do this because we love God and we want the Word of God, because God has given us this assignment to put His Word into the atmosphere. Someone will grab it. Someone will hold on to it. Someone will know that this Word is their lifeline. Keep God first and trust in His Word. And come join us tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we continue moving forward in the Word of God. And family, guess what, Mother? You say it again. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's just like Billy Sunday. He heard the Word of God, and he got saved. So when people hear the Word of God, it touched their heart, and they get saved. Billy Sunday heard the Word of God.
Amen.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Love you, Mother. God bless you.